Bow our heads for a moment in prayer. Your steadfast love, Lord, is something that is easy to say and initially easy to comprehend, but it is something that's difficult to really fully implement within our lives. Forgiving other people as you have forgiven us is an expression of that steadfast love. And so this morning, Lord, calm us, help us to listen for your voice, that we can understand a little more this day that chesed, that steadfast love that you have for us in Christ. And we pray in his name, amen. There's a song in our hymn book at number 252, and it's a very short one, and get your books out, look that up, number 252. It's very short, and hymn that's there, it's only got a couple of lines. It says down there it's copywritten 1982, but I'm pretty sure it's been around a little bit longer than that, into the 70s. Renata, could you play that for us? Number 252. It's really short. It's one you know well. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. 252. And, you know, we add verses to that, make so it's a little bit longer, and he's my Lord, and he's our Lord, and that sort of thing, and which is lovely thoughts. But it's coming from Scripture. It's coming from some of what we read in Romans today. If you can see at the bottom, it's also referencing Philippians 2. There's also reference to this in the book of Isaiah. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. Sing that together. Nice and slow, reverently.
He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Thank you, Renata. Very simple song, very short, very to the point. It's a lovely reflective piece. I've done that with guitars and loud music and kind of a punky version at one point, but it's also very nice to have it sung in a very reverent and respectful kind of a way. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I had a sermon prepared this morning, and I'm going to touch on some of that, but there's something that really is touching me with this particular verse. It's a matter that I think is important to the church, to the capital C today. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Isaiah 45 is where we get that as well in the Old Testament. It's important, we understand the importance, rather, of that particular verse, that verse that's we found at least three times in Scripture. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But I think one of the problems that we face in church today, in our church today, and in churches across the country today, not every knee is bowing, not every tongue is confessing currently. One of the big problems that we are finding is the people who are coming to church are getting older, and when we look around the room, we can see that that's in fact the case. Whether you want to hear it or not, folks, that we are all getting a bit older. Time is marching on for us. One of the big concerns for the church today is this unending love that God is expressing maybe going to come to an end? Because when we're gone, who's coming up from behind? conversation that I had just this morning and I've been having for many, many different weeks and months is, how do we get people coming to church? How do we get people to come here on a Sunday morning? Well, when the worship wars were going on, and I put that term very loosely, you may or may not be aware of that title. I've got books in my office if you ever want to read about the worship wars, and that was contemporary versus traditional, whatever those terms mean. It came down to how we were worshiping. I remember being a part of that and involved because I was a musician and am a musician, but was a musician active in churches and part of the conversation about what we should be doing on a Sunday morning. So I'm not speaking just because of an attitude or an opinion, really. I'm speaking from being a veteran of those particular wars. And I use that word loosely when I say wars, but arguments that went on. I remember being in churches as a congregant and being part of a conversation saying, you know what, if we get rid of the choir seats, we get rid of the organ, and we put in some drums, and we put in a big screen, and we put in big speakers, and we have that contemporary framework around our service, we're going to pack the place out. Well, they did that. They did that 20 years ago. They did that 30 years ago. They did that 10 years ago, and some places are still doing that, and they're not packing the places out. And I remember not just me, but friends of mine saying, you know, we're competing with Sunday morning football, is in a generic term. The fact that we put electronic screens and we've got loud music going and we've changed the pews out for chairs is not going to get somebody who's waiting for the football game to come on Sunday morning. It's not going to get them out of bed and come to church. And it's not going to happen because of the flash and bang that's going on here. It may keep people here if they come out. I'm not going to dispute that. Those changes can keep people coming, make a lot of other people leave too, on the other side of that. What has to happen is people need to know that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. That's not a statement of wish, that's a statement of fact. At one time, in the near future, at some point, when we move down the road, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, whether they agree or not. At one time, this will take place. It's a promise of God's future for all of His creation. What we need to be doing is praying very hard for the people in our community and working very hard to help them to see the need in their hearts for this word Hesed, God's steadfast love. It's the Hebrew letters of Hesed. And it's said down there. God has a steadfast love that He's expressed through Jesus Christ. Steadfast love that has endured through the Old and the New and into our modern time. Old and New Testaments and into our modern time. The problem for people not coming to church on a Sunday morning is not that we're not supplying something that's meaningful, because it's clearly meaningful to all of us. What we do here and what the church down the street does, it's meaningful to the people that are coming. What's not happening is an understanding of a spiritual life in the lives of the people who don't come to church. Part of the conversation around this for me and trying to work some of this out is a church in our own presbytery that's changed their name. They've taken the word Presbyterian off the front of the church and they've called it a family church. Sounds great. But you know what? The word church is still on there. So if you're not coming to church and you see the word church on a building, you already know what's going on in there, or at least you think you do. So why would you go there? The word family is not going to drag you to that place. If there's no need in my life for a spiritual concern or spiritual uplifting or spiritual feeding, I'm not going to go to a place that says church, because that's what they do there, isn't it? And it's usually pretty boring. Even if I've never set foot in one, I kind of have an idea what goes on there, and it doesn't relate to me. God's people, all of us, God's people, me included, God's people, we need to be praying that God can open up the hearts of the people who know nothing about their spiritual life. For people in our community, there's only two things that goes on: what they think about and what they feel physically, and that's it. That third dimension doesn't exist. So everything we sing about Everything we read about in Scripture, everything we talk about as Christian people on that spiritual plane is falling on deaf ears. Because it's like, well, the only person, and I said this very thing this morning on my way here, there's one person who did an excellent job of telling people they needed something they didn't think they needed. It was Steve Jobs from Apple. Steve Jobs invented stuff and then said, you want this, you need this. And everybody went out and bought whatever Steve had made. MP3 players, iPhones, iPads, Apple computers. And the latest one that's out, if you've been watching the news, is the new iPhone 10 for $1,300 Canadian. Who needs a phone for $1,300? Well, Steve Jobs was here. He'd be telling you why you needed that phone for $1,300. And lots of people would be going, yes, says Steve, thank you. It's not salesmanship I'm pointing out here. It's someone had the ability to point out something that people did need to be aware of. We, God's people, need to be making the people who do not think they have a spiritual life aware of the fact that they do have a spiritual life. And that this, God's unending love manifested through the cross of Jesus Christ, can answer that for them. More bling in church, more rearranging of the building, moving to a different location, renaming, rebranding, replanting, is not going to get people out of bed on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night, whatever day you want to put the service on, when they don't even think there's a need for it. And we all know people in our lives who think we're ridiculous for coming out here on Sunday mornings. Like, what are you getting there anyway? People at church, you know, they're backbiting and they're backstabbing and they're phonies and they're hypocrites and all the stuff comes out. Why would you even want to go there? We go here because of this, God's unending love manifested to us through the cross of Jesus Christ. We come here to worship on a Sunday morning because God calls us to be God's people and do that. But it's difficult to convey that to people who don't think they have any need for it in their lives. It's important for us, God's people, to be praying hard that spiritual awakening can take place in our community. We can't force it to them. It's saying lead a horse to water, you can't make him drink. It really is true. We can bring people to this building. I could arm wrestle people to come in this building, and I could do it, even as unhealthy as I've been. I could arm wrestle some people to come to church, and they'll just go home. Because unless they're thirsty, and know that trough, to use that analogy about the horse, that trough has got the water they need, they're not going to drink from it. There's only so much we can do beyond prayer. Prayer is our biggest tool. It's God's work in their lives, this chesed, this never-ending, this unending, this steadfast love that makes the difference. We all have family members, we all have friends who do not come to church. And many of them respect the fact that we do. But they need to be awakened in their spirit. Our responsibility is to continue praying for them and acting in their lives like we read in the scripture. This forgiving 70 times 7 or 77 times or whatever gospel you're reading has it. That's a small part of that. You know, something else that came up in this talk that I was doing this past week down at St. Catherine's, because there was a question and answer period came up afterwards, and people were asking about what Jesus was doing in his time and what he believed as a Jewish person compared to what we now believe was Jesus was doing relative to the church. I don't think we know enough, we as God's people, enough about what Jesus said or did not say in Scripture. So the second part that we can play is to read our Bibles more often. Not just because it's something to do, not just because, well, I guess Christian people do that, but to honestly be digging into what Jesus had to say. Did Jesus say you must be saved? Yes. But where did he say it? What context did he say it? Did Jesus die on the cross and rise again? Yes, that's in the Bible. Where is it in the Bible? And what are the events that took place around that? Read your Bibles. Because when we're asked if that spiritual awakening takes place in those other folks, and they come to us and say, what is it to be a Christian? Do we really know the answer? Because it's more than coming to church on Sunday. In fact, if you look at the Bible, it doesn't even say that. And I've had non-Christians point that out to me many times. I don't need to go to church. It doesn't say that in the Bible. I just need to be right with God. Yeah, there's a lot of things you're not reading and leaving out. But there's a lot of things that we don't know the answers to because we don't know our Bible well enough. Prayer, Bible reading, and continuing to worship God as God's people. Supporting one another when things are tough. Living a life that's demonstrating to others outside these walls that this lifestyle is important. This lifestyle makes the difference. Yes, we've got struggles, and yes, we have hard times that we go through, but we have an answer to these things, and it's Christ. It's Christ in our lives. The important thing I think that was striking me this morning with this song and scriptures that we've read, I know in my heart of hearts that it's true that one day all creation will claim He is Lord, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's kind of like turning the light on. Wow, there's a light in here. That's nice, but I always knew there was. You didn't. And now, I want to make you aware before the light actually turns on that there's light in this room. That there's something that exists that you didn't know. And that's our responsibility, Christian people. That's our mandate. That's why we're here. That's why we do what we do. That's why we have all the activities that go on in a church. Church is not just stuff to do and a place to be. It's an expression of this promise that's coming, this steadfast love of God expressed through the phrase, He is Lord, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Holy Spirit of God, this is such a big topic, and I haven't done it justice, and I ask forgiveness for that, Lord. But we are all struggling with what it is to be a thriving body of Christ in the form of a church. And every congregation that's struggling, those ones that are weak and the ones that are strong, are all dealing with the same thing. What's going to happen in 2 or 3 or 5 or 10 years to a congregation? Lord, we pray for our community at large. We pray for our friends and our families who don't know You, don't come to church on a regular basis. Life is full of hardship at times, lots of joyful times, times when we're disappointed, times when we're missing people in our lives, times when things are just not going well. But we have an answer, and it's our spiritual life connected to Christ that is that answer, that makes the difference for us. So Lord, I'm praying that a spiritual awakening can take place in the community around us here at Burlington East. That people who do nothing, have nothing to do with not just church, but their spiritual life in general terms, Lord, that You can stir that up and awaken them. We as a congregation, we as a representative of Your church, Lord, can be ready to respond to that awakening, to have the answers, and be ready and willing to receive. Spiritual awakening, Lord, an awareness of that side of life is just something that is much needed in people. There's more to us than just what we think about and more than what we just feel with our bodies. There's that third dimension. And if the enemy has been doing anything successfully, it's been making us unaware of that, making us feel that it's unimportant. Thank You, Lord, for this morning. Thank You, Lord, that You're speaking to all of us, each in our own different ways. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess, Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Join together now for our offering to God, that God is praised. blessed us through the praise that we do in our life, and blessing us with that unending steadfast love, has said, let us offer now a portion of that as our tithes and offerings.